Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We will get to the trash of the day here in about 20 minutes or so. Here in about 8 minutes, we'll get to what's going on at Penn State. James Franklin fired after losing to UCLA and Northwestern in back-to-back weeks, 3 straight losses, if you include the Oregon one as well. And he got paid or will get paid to just go away. They owe him a lot of money still in that deal. And
I did like in his contract, he has to look for a job.
Yeah, they put that in there. If he has to lease attempt, and that way they can pay the difference of
it. But imagine just sitting in the interview and being like, what would make you a great coach here at, let's say, Indiana, you know, their coach gets plucked. And he's like, what would make you a great coach here at Indiana? And he's like, I don't even want this job. This school sucks. He's like, Bobby Knight was overrated. And he just yells things about Indiana that stink. He's like, I interviewed. I don't know what you mean to tell you. I got an interview for the job. They don't want to hire me. It's weird. He might still want to coach.
I'm surprised you didn't use Rutgers as the example in this. But,
no, because Schiano, they like him.
You come know? On.
Like, they like Greg Schiano.
I also think Indiana desperately likes Kurt Cignetti as well.
Of course they do. My mind was not that they were going to fire him, it was that some bigger school was going to come after him.
We'll get to all that. We'll get to all that in just a couple of minutes. And Drew, I know you got a lot to say, but make sure you're staying hydrated over there, all right?
My lips would be sore afterwards.
Yeah, we'll get there. We will get there. Let's talk some Chiefs football. We all know a few weeks ago, it became very clear, and it appeared at the time, that, all right, running back, major, major problem. Here are the names, Breece Hall, and people bringing up Achan and others that they wanted the Chiefs to look at.
Still, like both those guys.
For sure.
Yes.
The trade deadline is, what, November 4th, I think it is? Tuesday, November 4th at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There were rumors heading into Sunday's game from Mike Garafolo over at NFL Network that multiple teams are expected to begin calling as soon as this week. It mentioned, you know, the 49ers are on the hunt for edge help. The Jets and Titans have received calls for potential trades. It says the Chiefs and Chargers have asked around about running backs. And it mentions Breece Hall and Kamara as two guys expected to garner heavy interest. Okay, makes sense. My question for you is, do you believe, not that you would personally still do you believe the Chiefs are watching the backfield the last few weeks and seeing the offense and saying, well, maybe, just maybe, and I understand the report is saying the Chiefs have called around, but do you believe they'd be like, are they going to be in the market of those two big names? Do they feel that they're getting enough from their backfield? I still want them to also go and acquire a running back. Do you think, though, with the way the offense is trending, they're going to say, oh, you know what, maybe we don't?
They're not going to do it.
Yeah, that's where I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's going to happen after all this.
Bad news, everybody. They are not going to do it. It's just reality. Look, it was getting to a point where I think they would have strongly considered it, just based on the positioning that they were in. But and I've said this about this team before, and I think it's probably important to note that when you look at the Chiefs' running game, it's not like they've needed a dynamic running back to go on and win all these Super Bowls. We talk about this all the time. Damien Williams has like 4 career receiving touchdowns from Patrick Mahomes and ran for like 500 yards in the first year they won it.
I wonder if they believe just the addition of more and more Breshard Smith as the season goes along is going to give them the explosive.
And the passing part. The other part is, and this is the part that's probably been way under-discussed, is they've actually figured out how to run the last couple of weeks, and it's been by going under center. Yep. Somebody's run the numbers, so we don't have to. Yards per carry, under center this year. And I just want to remind you, they started going under center for the runs 2 weeks ago, so they started really increasing at gold just the last 2 weeks. Under center versus in shotgun running game. In shotgun, they're averaging 3.6 yards per carry. That stinks. under center. They are averaging 5.2 yards per carry, which is one of the better in the league, a 45% success rate, and 2.4 yards per rush before contact, which is a full 2 yards better than they were getting under center. So part of the problem is that they figured out how to run, Gold, and that part of their issue was that they don't know how to run under center, or they're bad at running under center, probably more importantly, and they've made an adjustment based on that, and the offense is working. The offense looks like the best in football the last 2 weeks. You think they feel some desperate need to go find a running back? That's the problem. They're not going to do it. I'd still do it, but they're not going
to
do
it. Yeah, and that's why I said there's a difference between like what you would like them to do, and I don't believe if Pacheco stays healthy and Kareem Hunt stays healthy and Breshad Smith stay healthy over the next 3 weeks heading into the trade deadline, I get the sense also that they wouldn't do it. It'd be fun all of a sudden, because then I would ask you if they made that trade and nobody got hurt, then who are they cutting? You can say, oh, they just cut Kareem Hunt. I don't think they would. I would, but I don't think they want
to
do that.
Or they trade Pacheco back to the team that they acquired.
I guess.
As an effort of like making the roster positioning work.
I don't think they're doing that.
I don't think they are either. I'm just saying like, here's a possible solution. I do not think they're trading for a running back anymore.
I think it's more likely eventually they're going to start shopping on the defensive side.
Bingo.
For just a rotational defensive end. But so much is dependent on the next 3 weeks. If all of a sudden I tell you Charles Omeniyi gets another 3 sacks over the next 2 or 3 weeks, then I think the answer for that is no as well. So we're assuming health, too. Health changes everything for any of this kind of stuff. But, you know, for once, they're not a team that's looking for wide receiver help. How nice is that? You know, usually this is the time of the year we start saying, what wide receiver is available to go and trade for?
If anything, a team
not
should be looking at the Chiefs' depth and
they're
saying,
not trade him
"No, either. I know." But like,
they just had to cut Brownlee because Rashee Rice is back on the active roster.
They don't even need Jalen Royal, so they drafted in the fourth round. Nobody's mentioning his name, nor should they. They shouldn't be like, "Hey, you know." Normally, in previous seasons, like we've talked about, you're gonna be like, "How do we get Jalen Royals more involved?" You know, let's get those. Don't even need it.
That's fine.
Tyquan Thornton was a non-factor in the last game. Didn't matter. They moved the ball with ruthless efficiency. They're averaging 118 yards per game this year. It is 14th best in the NFL. I understand Mahomes is a part of that.
Yeah.
Over the last 3 games, they're averaging a little better than 130 yards per game. That would put them at 6th, 7th, right around top 5 in the NFL in rushing yards per game. They are not going to look at this and say, this needs a solution. Now, my only hope is that they don't find some way to get Pacheco a contract that means they don't feel like they have to keep looking at it. My thing is still about finding young running backs, and I thought running back might have been the one thing holding him back this year. They might just throw it 40 times a game and run it 20. Like, they might be the most pass-heavy team in the NFL, and based on their weapons in the offensive line, I can't even blame them. It makes sense.
I don't think they're making a trade for any offensive player at this point.
Unless there's
an injury, that's it, and it'll be interesting. And I understand that report came out right before the game that they've called around. Well, did they call around a week ago, 2 weeks ago? Because things have changed in the last 2-3 weeks, and certainly after what happened on Sunday Night Football against the Lions. We'll get back to the Chiefs during the Chiefs Red Half Hour here in 20 minutes. In particular, we'll discuss whose playing time goes up, down, production up, down, all that when Rice, as in this Sunday, is back on the field.
It's gonna be weird to see him on the field because he was hurt all last year and hasn't played this year.
Yeah, I do think there's, we'll talk about it. I think there's a chance he just goes off on Sunday too. Like,
you
the
think
Chiefs
he just steps right in, doesn't
I think
miss a beat,
I think there's a chance the Chiefs just don't even mess around. Like, he just comes out and just basically it's sending a message to everybody. Like,
he's hungry.
He has an 8-catch, 95-yard touchdown day. Like, I think that, anyway, we'll talk about it later in the week. That's where my mind is at right now. But let's get to college football again. We mentioned James Franklin. He was fired Sunday morning as the head coach of Penn State. They had lost 3 in a row. They had lost at UCLA. And then they just followed up with a loss at home to Northwestern. Now, he still is owed $49 million across the remainder of that contract. And as we mentioned as well, you know, he does have to seek employment. And if he gets hired to be a broadcaster or a coach, then Penn State only owns the difference, right? If he gets a gig that pays him $2 million, $2 million, then they only owe him $6 million a year. So you get the idea how that will work. He also reportedly, his home in Happy Valley is listed now on the market for $3.3 million on all that. First, anytime pay me to go away, $49 million
I will leave
incredible.
The show right now.
Say whatever you want about me.
Even, and I like you both, but if they said $49 million and you have to delete Alex and Drew's number from your phone and never speak to them ever again, I'd be like, well, guys, it's been a pleasure, but for $49 million, I got to go. The most interesting part about this is how quickly, like, I always have two big takeaways of this. One, I never, ever, 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 ever will tolerate anybody who says there's not money to pay players, because I understand this isn't the university paying them, but it's not the university paying these NIL deals either. So there's plenty enough money to go around if there's enough money to pay someone $50 million to not work for your university.
A couple boosters were tired of James Franklin. They said, hey, I can come up with a few million a year to help pay this guy
off. So if you're tired of not seeing the team win enough, pony up that same dough and NIL money and problem solved. Second is, I always like the first initial dilution of who they're going to hire. There was a report this morning that Drew and I were talking about where they were like, they think they got a good chance at Marcus Freeman.
No.
Like, what the hell is going on here? He's leaving Notre Dame,
a
school that he's winning at, to go take Penn State?
Not happening. Not happening at all. Not at all. I think realistic names.
The delusion is great.
Realistic names, and again, you make these people tell you no, so I understand if you want to make phone calls to
Mark,
you know. Sig over at Indiana. Matt Rule, that he was already asked about it at his press conference.
Answered it really weird.
Matt Rule was already asked about. We were texting Drew in our group chat on Sunday morning about Matt Rule and stuff, and I understand Nebraska, he's got momentum there and all that, but his alma mater is Penn State. And so I think he's a name definitely to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
And unfortunately, if you're a Nebraska fan, that you should be nervous about that. I think the trickle-down effect is always interesting in this stuff. You know, if Florida fires their head coach, does James Franklin end up at Florida? What's the trickle-down from that? If Indiana's has an opening, what's the trickle-down from that? I just think Matt Rule is an interesting name and Sig to watch at Penn State.
I think Matt Rule's weird, because I get if he's offered the job, I think he 100% is taking it.
Yes.
I think even if it's like a slight boost from what he's making at Nebraska, and I don't know what that is right now. I don't have the numbers in front of me. He's taking it. I don't know if it's the right hire for Penn State, though, because I went and I did the numbers. Matt Rule is a rebuild guy. That's what he's always been. That's only what he's done. Temple rebuilt the team, left. Baylor rebuilt the team, left for the NFL. Stunk in the NFL, came back, and he's rebuilt Nebraska again.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen him have success long term.
We've never seen him try, though.
Correct, but his
left after three years.
His record against ranked teams is not good.
Just like Franklin,
and he might just be James Franklin again, which goes back to our conversation last week of who are you replacing him with?
Who do you think they should hire then?
I mean, in terms of who they should hire, I think Cignetti is the best option to go after,
right.
But I don't think, if I'm Kurt Cignetti, I'm not taking that job.
Why?
Because I mean, dude, you're in Indiana. It's Penn
State. He's also number three in the country in Dispute, Oregon. It's not like he's at Indiana 23rd in the country, undefeated.
I'm saying
he
can just do that.
He is the number three team in the country. There's no pressure in Indiana. He's probably going to have a statue built after him afterwards. Why would you leave that situation to go and do of a rebuild at Penn State, have to deal with more pressure?
Oh, there's definitely more pressure.
To make more dollars a year. It doesn't make any sense for him to leave Indiana.
He
I don't know why he would want to leave.
Why leave James Madison, though? Like, I hate the argument
There's more pressure in Indiana than James Madison. He can't leave a job because there's more pressure.
Get out of here.
You're not wrong. There's more pressure, but that's not a fair comp. Come on,
James
you and I
Madison
both know. Financially, it's a different stratosphere.
So
literally a different planet, though.
No, I don't think it is.
Hold on, Indiana and Penn State are the same job.
Stop. We're all talking over each other for a second. Somebody go first. I don't care, but we're all like talking.
Are we really trying to say that Penn State and Indiana are not differences in quality of job?
I think he's made Indiana a really good job right now, actually. I think where James Franklin has maybe made it, it's still a good job because it's Penn State, but it's more of a historical significance than right now.
Whoa.
Right now, what job would you rather have, Indiana or Penn State? I think they're more equal than people are giving them credit for.
So here's the balance.
It's because of Kurt Cignetti. Yeah. Why would he want to leave something that he's built up? I think that
he's
doesn't
been sensational.
For a job that's a sideways move.
Yeah, he's been sensational. He's taken Indiana to heights they have never seen before. That is all true. I think sometimes we have to remember what they are right this second because of him, though, is still not what it doesn't mean that Indiana now for the rest of time is just going to be a top 10 team in the country. And so Penn State, historically, it does matter in terms of financial backing and all this. I know NIL budget has increased in Indiana drastically, but is Indiana suddenly just now a football school? I'm just saying there are still long-term questions about...
And they might be, actually.
About, I don't know, right? I mean, their basketball program has stunk for 30 years, but they probably should shift to that. I mean, for those that are...
They also got Mark Cuban. They have a lot of resources in Indiana.
And so does Penn State. They just paid a coach $49 million to go away. So they have resources as well. I'm just saying that Penn State, we can't act like that Indiana is just a better job now because right this second, Indiana is better. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying.
For Kurt Cignetti, Indiana might be a better job. For anybody else, it's Penn State, of course.
So you're just saying Cignetti, you believe he personally, his personality, he's going to stay at Indiana the rest of his coaching career.
I know. I didn't say that. I'm saying
that's kind of what you're saying.
No, I'm saying why would he leave this second when they are the number three team in the country recruiting wise? They are maybe 10 spots back in the recruiting rankings for next year. So it's not like he's getting the 51st ranked class.
A hot name now. He might not be that in 4 years. He may not be the guy that can get the Penn State job. You know what I mean?
I also think
But it doesn't. What is better about Penn State? They'll pay you $1 million more. They were paying James Franklin $200,000 more than Kurt Cignetti's currently getting in Indiana.
But Drew,
resources.
You're talking about it.
It makes no sense.
You're talking about it like the way we talk about other programs. Penn State is not like in the position Nebraska was in, whereas 20 years. Of they weren't a top program anymore and they don't need to talk about themselves in the category.
Yeah, they're not a sleeping giant. No. I understand that.
But like Penn State has maintained their level. I also think that you're mischaracterizing him. I think Sig, the guy who showed up at the doorstep and said, you know what I am? I'm a winner. Google me. Like the idea that he's afraid of like more pressure at Penn State or he's not going to take the job because there's more pressure. That's the antithesis of anything he has shown from a personality standpoint. Versus, I would say he is shown to be the person who wants the challenge, who wants the additional pressure, and would take the bigger job as a result of that. You characterizing as why go take a job that has more pressure? He seems like the kind of person who would like that.
You sell your vision of your culture. I mean, what's the...
Who are you talking about? The high school guys, the transfers, who?
All of the above. I mean, how do you?
It's pretty simple. I win. Google me.
That's not to say that people wouldn't
want... That's a badass line. And then to back it up.
It's not to say that he wouldn't... People wouldn't go play for him at Penn State. It's not to say any of that, but if he... Let's say he goes over to Penn State and they go 10-2. It stinks. It's the same thing they just had. It's the exact... He might as well be James Franklin. He might as well be James Franklin. If he went to Penn State next year and they went 10-2 and they lost in not even the semifinal, because people forget James Franklin made it to a national semifinal last year. Let's say they get outed in the first round and they go 10-2. It's a worse season than they had with James Franklin the year before. Why would he want to leave?
Yeah, for the record, I think Matt Rhule is taking the job.
It doesn't make any sense to me why he would want to leave Indiana when he has the number three team in the country and just beat Oregon. He has made Indiana a top-tier program in the country that people have to pay attention to. Jumping to Penn State is, at this point, a sideways move. If he would have left last year... Okay, I get it. It makes sense. But he has basically made Indiana what Penn State has been for a longer period of time, but he's made Indiana what Penn State has been. We'll see what they do in the playoff, but there's it right now for Kurt Cignetti. To me, it seems like a sideways move.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day. All right, we go to Pullman. Thinking of colleges, how about Washington State? We go to Pullman, Washington, the Palouse, as they say, up on the Palouse. A man bombed his own apartment.
Okay? That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, so he bombed his own apartment.
For what reason?
Well, so he had a shotgun, bottle rockets, fire logs, lighter fluid in his vehicle. During a four-hour standoff, the police were able to get this gentleman out. He had been smoking meth, led police on a high-speed chase before his car was stopped by a spike strip, okay? But he shot a firework into the ceiling with a mortar, damaged 8 apartments, and forcing dozens of people to leave, okay? The kicker, if that's not enough for you.
No.
During the four-hour standoff, in order to get him out, the condition of him surrendering, he said, I want a meal from Dairy Queen. I want a Blizzard.
So they got that man a Blizzard?
They did. They bought him a Blizzard and a hamburger, delivered the food to his car using a tactical robot. Then he gave up and was arrested. He's being held on $250,000 bond, faces felony arson and looting charges.
I mean, the truth is he's not going to get a Blizzard for a while, good for him.
Look, I'm screwed. I'm caught. I might as well ask for, give me one of those Blizzards. Give me some Blizzard. That's it.
God, that's tough to say. If I was like in a standoff with police and they're like, you can get one meal before you go to jail, I don't think it'd be a Dairy Queen Blizzard. And I like a Blizzard as much as the next person. But I, you know, you got to really think that through that order.
That chocolate cherry love Blizzard that they only have a couple times a year. Oh man, it's good. It's really good.
Never had it.
You know?
That's up on your list.
It's called the Choco Cherry Love, I think, officially.
There's like a part of like my, you know, like I'm not kidding. I had Blizzard like maybe a week ago for the family. And I went to the store and my wife ordered one and like I just kind of felt stupid ordering it. It was something about like it's kind of like ordering like a bougie coffee where like when I have to start saying like 78 words in order to fire off the list, I'm like, oh, this is exhausting. I don't want to say chocolate. It was like chocolate brownie extreme.
I've had that one. Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to say all these words just to get this.
And the chocolate brownie extreme Blizzard.
Can I not? I think it was more complicated. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
Well, that's the size.
I just feel kind of stupid when I have to get to like more than 8 words to describe the single item I'm ordering.
A lot of people mentioning the new Superman Blizzard. I have not had that. I haven't had a Blizzard in a couple months, but I didn't know about the Superman Blizzard. What's in that? Like blueberries and cherry or something? What are we?
Is it still out? The Superman movie's like, you can just stream that on HBO now.
Really? It had it featured a cake batter cookie dough flavor, sugar cookie dough, cake batter flavor, sprinkles blended in DQ soft serve.
Only
issue, dyed blue to match the superhero suit.
Yeah, here's the only issue I have is that I have very few food rules overall. I'm open to eating a lot of foods.
Oh boy.
At 41 years old, I pretty much avoid all foods that are blue. Blue is not a natural color of food.
Okay.
Like if it's an M&M, we can get by. But if something's blue, it's
I'm
like
glad,
your
you know,
mouth looks kind of stupid.
You know,
it's like, or it's cotton candy flavored. I'm just out on like blue foods.
I'm glad you're sticking to that, you know, because those orange colored Doritos are real natural. Yeah. Yeah. That you added those orange flavored, whatever nacho flavored. Those are natural.
I'm not claiming it to be a natural color. At least cheese is orange.
What That's color? Not real cheese. Come on.
At least cheese so you're is saying
unless
orange.
Unless it's candy, you're staying away from it.
Yeah. Also, I think a lot of times it's more of a flavor profile thing, I would think, traditionally. Because a lot of blue stuff is either like bubblegum or cotton
bubblegum,
candy.
I'm out on the bubblegum
like
flavor, yeah.
Flavors I'm not interested in. That's the problem. This one's just dyed blue, so it's probably fine. But then also, you know how this works, man? You're an adult. You're going to walk around and your tongue's just bright blue. It just feels so silly.
Yeah, Drew, do you like blizzards?
I love blizzards. My lips would be sore afterwards.
From eating a blizzard? I don't think so, man. You're not supposed to. It's not that aggressive.
When's the last time you got a blizzard, Drew?
2 or 3 weeks ago, probably.
Okay, I was about to say, what's everyone's go-to ice cream place on this show? I haven't discussed that much.
It's probably Dairy Queen, just because I
it's
like
one of
the blizzards.
Closer ones to my house.
So I mean, there's an Andy's right by me as well.
There's a Cold Stone right by us in Legends.
Yeah, there's an Andy's right by me.
Man, I left Waldo, and right around the corner from our old house, they built an Andy's, and it used to be like a empty shopping center that used to have a liquor store in it the entire time, just like a dead parking lot. I was like, I'd have preferred that Andy's. That would have been much better. Come on, Andy's.
Yeah, they do very
well. I just
well.
Need you to get there a
place
couple years
Place is always
early.
Busy. The line is
slammed.
Crazy.
Slammed. Always slammed. I mix it up.
What?
This text is making me laugh.
What is it?
Cody doesn't like Blue Chew? Come on, Cody. You'll have flashbacks to your glory days. Be ready when she is.
My glory
Give
days.
Her group text something to text that, about, right, Drew?
Give her group chat something to talk about, because
right,
nothing makes you more of a legend than a little Blue Chew.
Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Front half hour. Talk about production of players once Rice is back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Coming up in about 8 minutes, we'll get back into the AFC. Buffalo losing their second in a row in a number one seed conversation, admittedly, that is now wide open. The Bills are still the favorites in betting markets to be the number one seed, but we'll discuss that and narrow it down if we can to four teams maybe that actually have a real path to getting a number one seed, Kansas City included. We'll give you the list of things that I think have to happen for them to realistically get there, but it's more open than it ever has been after the Bills dropped their second game in a row. You guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. So Rashee Rice is back. He will be allowed to practice this week. So starting tomorrow, you'll get
him
back.
He's been in the facility a little.
He just can't practice until this week. And he will be on the field on Sunday. Now, Andy Reid yesterday didn't have an idea yet on how much he's going to play. I told you, I think he's going to be pretty darn close to a full go. I understand game shape is a little bit different, but we'll see. Who do you think has the biggest dip in production and playing time? Because right now, you just look at the season-long stats, and remember, Xavier Worthy, of course, missed a couple games.
They are incredibly balanced right now.
Travis Kelce is the leading receiver at 321. Hollywood Brown set at 302 yards. Tyquan Thorne, 272. And I'm just going off of yardage for the sake of the conversation. Juju, 225. Worthy, a buck 45. And then it's a bunch of running backs, right? Breshard Smith, Kareem Hunt, 80, 55. Noah Gray, 47. Pacheco, 46. And even Nico Remigio in there with a 21-yard catch as well.
They're the
on
only
the
team in the NFL with four players over 225 yards, by the way.
This is the
balanced.
Is the whole EGE thing.
Yep. Everybody going to eat?
Somebody's
not going to eat once Rice comes
back. So yeah,
that's what we're talking about. Who's starving?
That's correct. So like, is EGE really something you can keep with when Rashee Rice comes back? Cuz somebody's going to see the field less. I think before the season started, I would have said, "Oh, easy. Juju Smith-Schuster is just going to go away." He's playing very well. He's also someone they trust in blocking out of the wide receiver position. So I'm trying to figure out, like, he's going to have a decrease, but at the same time, is it going to be as much as we thought? I mean, we already saw Tyquan Thornton snaps go down when Worthy came back. Now, different type of receiver. Rice and Juju are similar body style in terms of they're going across
similar
the middle
routes,
and similar routes.
Kelce runs some similar
and
routes.
And so does Kelce. So it's a good problem to have. I think we'll see a decrease in Juju snaps, but I wonder to what extent.
So I do think Juju will have less, but I think from a production standpoint, there's two guys who I think it will impact, one in the short term and one in the long term. The short term answer for me is Xavier Worthy. I heard Danon Hughes this morning saying he's looking out there like he's 70%. Great. Now you get to baby the injury. Now you're going to try to get to a bye
week. Get that ankle healthy.
Making sure that ankle's good. Making sure you're squared away for the second half. So whose numbers are going to go down for the next few weeks? Xavier Worthy's. His touches are going to go down. His looks are going to go down. And they're going to protect him and protect the injury for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, this was Danon on Fesco and Dusty talking about the versatility that they have now at these weapons.
I'm thinking off the top of my head, I don't think there's another offense in the NFL where every receiver is a part of every type of package that you run. Reverses, passes, bubble screens, across the middle plays, jet sweeps, shovel passes, everything that you have in your arsenal, all three of our top receivers can do. And now we're bringing Rashee Rice back where what we've been leaning on Juju Smith-Schuster to do, the in-traffic plays, move the chains. Now we got another guy that's coming in that's going to be able to do that again. So, like, how do you game plan against this offense with all these weapons? Not because they're just weapons, but because they're all versatile and all can do the same thing and add that kind of component to this offense.
Yeah, it's crazy, man, when you think about it, trying to prepare against these guys.
So that was Danon Hughes this morning.
The answer is, so I think him in the short run is the answer. And I think they'll protect him gold and they'll do all of that other stuff. Great. In the long run, I think it's Hollywood Brown. Travis, history tells you he's going to get his. Plus, we'll talk more about him tomorrow. His yards per catch are up, his success rate, his route per success.
I do think they're going to try to keep him fresh, though. So that'll be something. But it might be a little bit of kind of what Danon's alluding to, though. I think you could have on a weekly basis, all of a sudden, it's not something that across the board every week is going to be the same. I think 1 week you could see, for whatever reason, the targets are down for Travis Kelce, and then they're back up. It's going to be game plan dependent, but they're in a great spot. They're in a really, really good spot. Now, we went from being like, oh my gosh, they're never going to have any of these guys on the field, to now, Well, how do they get everybody work? This is a great, great opportunity for Kansas City. And yeah, good luck defending them if you're the Raiders on Sunday and you're trying to figure out, especially this week in particular on Sunday, because the Raiders, you have no film of how the Chiefs operate with Worthy, Rice, Brown, and Brown, same person.
Yeah.
You have no idea how that looks if you're the Raiders.
I still think they're going to like feed certain players. Like in reality, someone's production is going to go down. Holly was just a logical one to me because I don't think they're at the end of the year, they're going to have five guys finish with more than 650 or 700 yards. Offenses don't finish that way. Right now, what's Hollywood on pace for? He's got a little over 300 yards.
306 games.
Which is a lot more than so that's 50 yards a game. Do we really think Hollywood's finished with 850?
No.
Do I think that Travis will finish with 850? Yeah, that seems in the range.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to finish at, what is he pace for now, 970?
Well, and some of it is like, Worthy was already going to tick some of that away for people and did for Thornton as soon as he got back. Thornton didn't get nearly the targets. Thornton's just going to get one or two targets a game. His production was already starting to slide with the addition of Worthy back. Okay, so we know Thornton's role. That's why I'm saying it's Hollywood. Hollywood has been a surprisingly good third down option for them. Juju's been a surprisingly good third down option. If you're going to make me guess, Gold, which of those two guys loses time to Rice first, I still think it's Hollywood. Juju's just like a trusted guy.
I think they really like him. Now, it is true that Juju just does a lot of the same things. So that's the only tricky part, but I do believe they really like him in rundown. Someone says, hey, maybe Noah Gray snaps go down. Other than this past week, they already were way down. Like, I don't think it's much of a change. This past week, he had his best game of the season, you know, but if you look at his snaps and his production, he hadn't done really much the first 5 weeks. This past week was really nice to see a little bit. So I don't know if you're saying his snaps are going to go down, they're already pretty low. I mean, there's not much room
for Rice's.
We're talking about, it's not like one of these other guys you're talking about going from, let's call it 40, 35 snaps a game that could get down to 15 or 20. Noah Gray, I don't know what the exact snap count was on average the first 5 weeks, but maybe you were talking about, 25 snaps or 20 snaps at max. I just don't have those numbers in front of me, unfortunately. But
I'll say that they're going to have to live by that motto that they've been shouting each other, EGE. They're going to have to live by it. That is going to have to be a very real part of what they do. Not just something they say in a little fun, we're in the locker room. And by all accounts, by the way, they are very much all on board with it and are talking about it like they're all on board with it. So it's going to have to last that way. And I don't think they're just going to throw Rasheed Rice in for 85% snaps right away. Right. I don't think it's going to go down.
I think he's going to have a big week one for him. Week one, at least.
Though. Noah Gray snaps that conversation. Here he is by game. Boy, it varies wildly a little. 41, 65, 68%, 56, 56 against Baltimore. Jacksonville, 75%.
Yeah, this was the most snaps
against Detroit. But obviously, that's something they saw on paper. They wanted to, and they ran the ball very effectively and under center. Another thing that they're doing more of against Detroit.
Someone says, please, I don't want to see Noah Gray trying to block Max Crosby.
Look, I don't know what the hell happened on that Hutchinson. Snap.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
And I don't feel bad. Noah Gray did, what are you going to do? That's just a snap you're going
to
lose.
Bad spot to be in. Just a bad spot to be in. All right, let's talk about the number one seed. We started the show with this because I felt like the Bills were going to run away with the number one seed. Their schedule.
Yeah, we've been saying it for about a month.
The schedule set up really nicely for them. The division is weak, all of that. And now we sit here after they lose two in a row and watching, more importantly, how they're playing. And a defense that has been exposed, a defense that anybody can run all over you. We discussed Atlanta was going to have a ton of success against him with Bijan, and they did. And it was a really impressive win for Atlanta. Buffalo is exploitable, and they are not some juggernaut. And so with that said, the number one seed conversation is very much open. Now, they still have the best odds to be the one seed, and I still think they have a great schedule to get there. But they got flaws. They got some major flaws. And so you think about how many teams, Cody, are in the mix for the one seed. You've got a 5-win team in Indianapolis. You got a 4-2 Patriots, a 4-2 Bills, a 4-2 Broncos, a 4-2 Chargers team, and of course a 3-3 Chiefs team. Oh, and I forgot Pittsburgh, 4-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. So I think if we're being real, I would eliminate a couple of those teams just based on what I think they are as a team. But there's four teams that I can make a case for that have a path. I still, if I had a bet on who it would be, I would still put my money on Buffalo. Kansas City is tough for me to bet on because I think Kansas City at this point for the one seed, they could do it, but here's what I think they have to do. They have to win at Buffalo because you need the tiebreaker.
Win at least one Denver, maybe two?
Got to win against the Chargers in the rematch so you don't get completely screwed on the tiebreaker if it comes down to them, although I don't know if it will the way the Chargers are set up. Split at minimum with the Broncos, as you were saying, and then I think they have to win against Indy. And it's because of the tiebreakers coming to play where now I don't think 14 wins is going to be the number you have to get to for the one seed. I think you might get to 13 or 12 and you got to have the tiebreaker.
And the tiebreaker is conference record. The Chiefs are still, in my opinion, behind several teams for the best odds. They should be behind multiple teams for the best odds. They're 1-2 in the conference. That Jags loss is a huge swing in the number one seed department. Forget the games that they're getting ready to play. That one really hurt. They went to 1-2. The Colts are 4-0 in the conference. The Steelers are 3-0 in the conference and play in a weak division, so their conference record likely to improve. The Chargers are 4-0 in the conference. Their losses are both on the NFC side. I think it's five teams. I think the number one seed, which is a lot, by the way, after week six. Normally, I would say I'd have it narrowed down to 1, 2, or 3 teams. I still think six teams are at play for the one seed. Colts, Steelers, Chargers, Bills, Chiefs. I think that the Chargers I'm only including because of their conference record and presuming they eventually get their current left tackle back on the team and Amarian Hampton comes back in a couple of weeks, maybe they can stave off issues. Now, look, they are fighting for their lives in every game right now. And the Colts schedule's easier. Although it gets hard at some stretch, the Steelers schedule is about as easy as it gets. The Chargers, here's their next few games. This is what will determine if they deserve to be a part of it. Vikings on the road. And I think that one's... Oh, that's not the overseas one.
Vikings are done internationally. They already played two. They're done.
Vikings
now.
At home. Titans on the road. Titans, who cares? Steelers at home. That one matters a lot for the one seed. Jags on the road. These next four games are going to decide whether they're a serious team for the one seed. Their schedule's not easy, and they got major injury issues. But because they're 3-0 in the conference, or 4-0 in the conference, and 4-2 overall, I have to include them in the conversation. I'd probably rank them least likely at fifth, but I think they deserve to be a part of it.
Here's where the betting markets are at least, if you're wondering. So the Bills are 3-1. They have the best odds to still be the one seed, even though they're not looking good. They're still a 4-win team right now and still have an easy schedule. The Colts, plus 320. The Colts are already sitting there with 5 wins. Chargers, 6-1. Then the Steelers, 6.5-1. Then the Chiefs at 8-1. Followed by the Broncos at 9.5-1, Patriots at 10-1, and the Jags at 14-1. Patriots are looking good. I still don't think they can get to the one seed. I know they have the same record and the tiebreaker over Buffalo right now, so you're saying, what do you mean they can't? I still think Josh Allen, let's not act like Josh Allen still isn't going to be able to pull off some wins here, even with the defensive struggles.
So like,
last night, they weren't able to.
The way I view, and it's tough, because I told you last week, that was the all 32, is that I thought, the Patriots have a real chance to win the division. I'd only put it at 20%, but that's a lot better than I thought, Gold. They would have to do it at any other point this year. So I thought 20% chance. After last night's Bills loss, am I at 50%? No, I'm at like 25 or 30%. The Patriots' odds increased, in my opinion, to win the division. But in the end, it takes more than just you have the lead on the team that has owned the division for almost a decade. And not quite that much.
Yeah, the odds,
but their divisional streak's close to the Chiefs at this point.
Yeah, the odds, by the way, would tell you the Chiefs have an 11% chance right now to get the number one seed.
Okay. I mean, that's
because
about
of
right.
the path. Like, as we say, they
really
have to
difficult schedule. Got to get hot.
Got to get the Chargers. Got to split with the Broncos. Got to beat the Colts. Got to beat the Bills. So that way you don't worry about the tiebreakers, and then you can worry about the wins at the end.
They still got two teams ahead of them in the division.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to put them as the favorite to be the number one seed until at least they do that. The one thing I'll say about the Patriots, and the reason why I'll cool it on them a little bit, the Bills win is good. I'm not denying the Bills win.
Drake
it's a good
May
win.
Looks awesome.
It is a good win. Their other wins are the Saints and the Panthers, so and the Dolphins. So, you know, give me a little bit more juice here before.
They have the Titans on Sunday.
I know. And then the Browns after that. Yeah. So, like, give me a little bit of juice before I'm like, yeah, they're getting ready to rip off. They've got the Giants, Bengals, and Jets, too.
They've got
a great schedule.
They have the easiest schedule in football. We went over this last Friday, I think it was, the strength of schedule. Yes, the Bills' schedule is easy. The Patriots is even easier.
And that was when the Chiefs were included as, like, an easy team for most teams. Now the Chiefs are at least 3-3, so they're not going to get listed as easiest opponents remaining. Based on that same list, by the way, the Patriots still have the easiest schedule remaining. Yeah. Yeah. The Jets twice, the Titans, the Browns, Dolphins, Ravens, and Bengals. And who knows which version of the Ravens they'll get. The Bengals, by the way, have the second easiest schedule. Kansas City, because their opponents have toughened up a little bit, are up to 17th in there. And this matters for the teams that are up for the one seed. Here are the teams. We said the Chargers, they have the 9th hardest remaining schedule. The Colts, 5th hardest remaining schedule of the teams that we had mentioned. Bills are still down the list at 25th. Is there anybody else we're missing? And then, the Chiefs. So
Pittsburgh, 27th.
And Pittsburgh, 27th. So, there are teams with an easier path and a better record and a better conference record than Kansas City. If they got any chance at the one seed. But here's the thing. Gold, if you're telling me right now, some of the teams have the best chance to get the one seed, are the Colts or the Steelers?
Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones. Just say it out loud. I don't care how well they're playing this year. Still, that's a path you will take in a heartbeat.
If you're telling me that they got to go on the road for the AFC Championship game, they're not the number one seed, they got to go on the road against the two. And the teams that they got to go on the road against are Daniel Jones and Aaron Rodgers at 49 years old or whatever. Great. Fine. Sold. Sign me up. That sounds like a dream scenario for the Chiefs if they have to go on the road for an AFC Championship game. It's not. Or the Patriots or Drake May. If you're telling me that Patrick Mahomes' path to the Super Bowl this year is to go to New England against Drake May in the AFC title game. Sign me up now. I'll sign up right now.
I do think now all this is going to be dependent on how these teams are looking at the end of the year. But to me, you do really want to avoid being the fourth. If let's say you win the division, you want to avoid being the fourth seed. The number, I know you get the home game, but to me, the five seed this year, if somehow the Bills fall apart and they're not win the division, and you don't want the Bills coming to your place in a wild card round. You know, if the Patriots are the five seed, I don't know if you're feeling great about the Patriots as a five seed coming to your place if you're the four seed. So I think either I want the Chiefs being the five seed if they don't win the division, or I want them being one, two, or three. I don't want the Chiefs being the four seed division winner, I guess is what I'm saying. I don't like that spot at all.
Pretty funny. Over on Twitch, yep. Cashed says, easy there on Aaron. Give him some respect. He's not much older than you, Cody. I looked it up. We're the same age.
You and Rogers, same age.
He's got a birthday this year, so we're about a year apart. Isn't it crazy? You know me, and you've watched Aaron Rodgers play his entire career. Doesn't he feel way older than me?
Well, sure.
We are the same age.
Yeah.
But he feels 15 years older than me in my head. We're the same age? Me and Aaron Rodgers? Oh,
text line says because he doesn't dye his hair.
I'm not dyeing my hair. It's crazy.
It is
maybe
dark.
It's because
it is dark. It looks really dark.
He does young man stuff. He's out here trying ayahuasca.
Maybe that's what you need.
Ayahuasca?
Yeah.
Yeah, go.
They don't drug test at my job. It's not like they're going to be like.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
The content that you could come back with would be amazing from your experience.
Yeah, you would have some stories, some things. You'd be like.
Am I allowed to talk about that on the air? What are the rules on that?
What do you mean?
Am I allowed to talk about my personal experiences on an ayahuasca journey
if
I go to a yurt and take drugs?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are on that.
Absolutely. It's content. Yeah. Content rules all.
The stories, man, it would be pretty awesome, I would expect.
Someone says, don't you have a birthday this year too, Cody? You said you have his birthday this year. I mean, remaining in the calendar year. His birthday is December 2nd. He still will have a birthday. He'll turn 42 this year.
That is a fair point. Yes, Cody doesn't have a birthday at all this year. Actually,
you know what I mean.
He stops counting. He's stopping counting.
Right.
At this point.
That's right.
I don't care.
No more counting.
As you know, on this show, the age part has never bothered me. I just felt like Aaron Rodgers feels old. He also looks like just football's beating him up a little bit. You know, he seems crankier as a person. Good old Aaron Rodgers, man. Both 41 years old.
Someone says, Cody, are you slowly dyeing your hair for the Halloween costume? Are you planning something?
Well, don't have any plans for the Halloween costume. I really got to schedule this haircut. I've just been slacking. Because I want to make a determination
of
whether or not.
I need a haircut as well.
It looks darker.
Yeah, you've been wearing the hats, I can tell, recently, you know?
I haven't had a haircut in, I think, 6 weeks, which is a long time for me. Normally, I get it every month.
What's taking so long?
I have no idea. I think it's pure laziness, honestly. Yeah.
Sometimes that happens. We're like, I don't want to skate.
For the 816, Old Man Rogers would smoke you in a hot dog race. That would be fun.
Yeah. See, absolutely.
That would be fun.
He's a professional athlete.
Yes.
He'd kill me.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't even want to know. I mean, he would kill me in the hot dog race.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers hasn't run a 40 in years, so I have no idea what his time would be, but he would, yes.
I don't have any idea. At the combine, it was 4.71 seconds. So, yeah. Imagine. The last time I ran a 40-yard dash on this station.
For context, Tom Brady ran a 5.17.
Yeah, and years ago, probably
people
like,
thought he was slow as, you know.
Yeah, what's the last time we did a 40 in this station? It was like 5, 6 years, 7 years ago. I don't remember the time frame of it.
Probably 5 years ago.
5 years ago, yeah. And I ran like a five.
I think five, four.
It was like 5.2?
Five.
It was like 5.3. Whatever. So yeah. Slower than him then. So like, yeah, I'm not, Aaron Rodgers would beat me in a 40. I don't think it'd be particularly close. He'd beat me in a 40 in a hot dog race. He'd beat me in any race imaginable.
Someone said, would you guys trade 2 first-round picks for a kicker that was guaranteed to not miss a single kick within 50 yards for the next 3 years?
Two firsts? Absolutely
no,
not.
You can't give up 2 first-round picks.
Wait, it's a guarantee?
For never miss a kick for 3 years. Never miss a kick within 50 yards. So it's not even guaranteeing the 59 yards. It's only guaranteeing me the ones inside 50.
If you guarantee me everyone inside 60, I'd take it.
For inside 50, round picks?
No.
Do you guys not realize the advantage of having a kicker that makes 100% of the
kicks? I want to give up 2 first-round picks.
And the Chiefs are in tight
in this exact,
playoff game.
In this exact scenario.
Set inside 60.
The text said inside 50. No.
Inside
50, I'm not giving up 2 first-round picks. Inside 60 would be tempting, Drew, because there is hitting 58 yarders every single time and not having to worry about it.
Get to the 50-yard line. It's guaranteed.
I'd give up one. I don't know about two.
45, yeah. I'd give up two. I mean, it's the Chiefs. It's pick 32, you know, most years. They got their starting left tackle, so I don't have to look for that in the first round anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, like those kind of things, I'd probably consider it. Every kick. Like, I don't think you realize how many games people lose because of kickers. Like, every kick in the playoffs.
How about Moody last night for the Bears? He got fired by the Niners earlier in the year. And
they've got a kicker that's making 100% of their kicks.
Yeah. And then
Cairo Santos is hurt. So Jake Moody's in there, and he makes 4 field goals last night and kicks the game winner.
Had that one blocked that was kind of awkward, but yeah. Did his job, man.
But no, the 2 first-round picks inside 50. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right, up next, guys. We will get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold, and we'll get back into the MVP conversation. Not only are the Chiefs now co-favorites to win the Super Bowl at a couple books, Patrick Mahomes is the favorite to win the MVP. We'll do that, plus all 32 next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.